All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Paul is going to be going through several verses on this message. We're going to read Psalm 84. Psalm 84 has a few notations in here called Selah. A Selah notation is relatively unknown, but basically it's a moment to pause and ponder what you have just read. So when I get to the Selahs, I will say that we will pause and ponder for a moment what was just read before moving on. Several of the Psalms have these Selahs in them. Okay, Psalm 84, starting in verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your hand upon each one of us here. And we pray, Lord, that this morning we would hear from you. We probably have already, but we pray that we would hear again from you through your servant Paul as he comes to open this and other scripture up to us, Lord. We pray that we would hear from you and that you would touch our hearts, that we would hear not just with our ears, but that our hearts would receive and apply what you have for us. So, Lord, this is your time. We pray that you would bless it, that you would bless Paul and anoint him with great understanding and clarity, both in thought and in word. And again, Lord, that you would speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty and powerful name, amen.
So the psalm that has just been read out is not my text. It's what I'm going to conclude with to apply the subject of today's message, which is not God's knowledge of wisdom, which sounds very strange. It's my writing that poor old Daryl has to try and interpret. So it should be God's knowledge and wisdom. That's what we're going to look at. God's knowledge and wisdom. Because whatever God does because he knows it thoroughly inside and out. And when he acts upon something or decides to do something, he always does it in wisdom. It's not just bare, raw knowledge. Stuff that he knows. Information that he has. It is what to do with it when its time is right, when it is time to bless, when it's time to judge, when it's time to intervene, when it's time to let it play out. And for us here who are in this fallen world, who have to put up with 1,000 different problems that confront us, whether it be with our own bodies, our own minds, with our 5 senses, the things that different people do that we have no control over, the machinations of Satan or world rulers, the onset of health problems and emotional problems and family problems and the rest of it. These things, Father, these things can seem to foster in us a question which says, does God know? Is God aware of what's going on in my life? Is God not going to do something about this? Surely there's a better way to act. Surely there's something God could do right now to change this. And what we often don't understand is that, yes, the pain, which can be true difficult and problematical for us or for our loved ones, that this is part of living in the world we live in. That we do not live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming. Okay? The kingdom of God is coming. Yes, sooner rather than later. Let's hope so. But it's been a long time in abeyance. It's been a long time going through life, looking through the pages of history and seeing man's inhumanity to man and seeing all of the destruction that there's been there. And we might be tempted to think that God doesn't act because he doesn't know. So the first scripture actually I want you to look at is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. And what I want to do is address the subject of God's knowledge and his wisdom, what he does with that knowledge. And I want to start with another attribute, because this attribute, what's called omnipresence, that God is in all places, God sees all things, helps us to understand God's knowledge. So Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. We read this. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? This great passage is recorded by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is, remember, a prophet who lives through a very, very disturbing and difficult time in Israel's history. They are about to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They don't have any chance. I mean, they are going to be overrun. They are going to be taken away from their homes. Many are going to be killed. Jeremiah's job is to announce that. Not a great job. But here, God reminds him that God sees and knows all things. It had been centuries of God sending prophets to the people of Israel, telling them to obey him, telling them not to go after pagan gods, not to rely on human princes, not to do wickedly, not to treat people unfairly. And yet, the nobles and the leaders of Israel had turned a blind eye to all of that. And finally, the judgment of God was coming down. I mean, it was right outside the gates, Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. Still, they were, because they were used to disobeying God, still they were in consternation. They didn't know what to do. They didn't want to hear what Jeremiah was telling them, even though it was true, even though it was the word of God. If they'd have acted on Jeremiah's advice, they would have gone into captivity, yes, but they would not be so great loss of life. There wouldn't be so much carnage. The time for God's judgment had come. But even in the time of God's judgment, there was still a word of God that says, do this and live. The reason for this is because God is never overwhelmed by the great changes that appear to happen in human history. He is not disturbed when one nation seems to overrun another nation. He's not disturbed when the stock exchange falls through the roof, or through the floor. He is never put out. He is never bothered. He is never concerned. He is never worried about human affairs and them getting out of hand. He has spoken to us because he has made us. He has told us what the right way is because he knows what the right way is. Yes, even in a fallen and wicked world, he still knows what the right way is. But we will not listen to him. The reason that we won't listen to him is that we, in our pea brains, think that we know better than he does. We think we see clearer than he does. We think that we can navigate life without him better than with him. Basically, we don't think that God sees all things. We don't think that God fills heaven and earth. We don't think God knows, and we don't think God is wise. We think we're wise. There's a way that seems right to a man, Proverbs tells us twice. But the end thereof is the way of death. The reason that we are to trust in God at all times, the reason that we're told not to lean on our own understandings, but in all things trust him, is that God is omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere. And because of that, his knowledge is everywhere. Even in the future, we can't go into the future without God knowing what that future will be. So it is a great idea. It is a wonderful thing to be like the psalmist in Psalm 84 and to regulate our lives in accordance with the knowledge of God. We can talk about this, this attribute of God's knowledge quite quickly. I mean, we can do it slowly too, and the theology books do. But we can just say that anything that can be known is known by God. And then some smart person will say, yes, but does God know how to make a square circle? And the answer is, of course not, fool. Because a square is not a circle. God is perfect reason. He can't do that which is irrational. If you want to follow an irrationalist, look at the devil. Look at what he does. He will take you off the path. Oh, he'll put you on one, a windy path, a path that will get you lost, a path that will mess with your mind, a path that will mess with your emotions and your heart, and you won't know who you are at the end of it. That you will be definitely a lesser human being than you were before. God, if you follow his path, then your path gets brighter from day to day. You get to be more like you as you grow more like Christ. Because God has made you an individual. God knows you inside and out. God cares for you as an individual. And God's wisdom, if you will accept it, God's wisdom guides your life. You say, well, I don't like where it's got me right now. Maybe. Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith comes in and says, Lord, I don't see what's ahead. I don't see what your plan is. I don't see how this accumulates into my reward in glory. But I trust that you have my tears in a bottle. I know that you count all of the hairs on my head. I know that you know all things. And because of that, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm not going to trust somebody whose life is like the same few years as my life. I'm going to trust the eternal one. I'm going to trust the omnipresent one. I'm going to trust the one who knows all things because he made all things. So we need to understand that God comprehends, he thinks about, he knows about everything. Let's go to Acts 15 and verse 18. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. This is James speaking at the Jerusalem session. This is a wonderful text. It's a wonderful memory verse. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Known to God from eternity are all his works. God is never asking himself, what am I going to do next? He knows what he's going to do. He knows all things. He knows all contingencies. He knows things that what would happen if a certain thing came about, even though it didn't come about. He knows what that would lead to. David, when he helped the people of Keilah, the town of Keilah, he was camped just outside that town. He'd helped them out. But he asked God, and he said, will the men of Keilah hand me over to Saul? And God said, yes, they will. Did they? No, because David was smart and he said, well, I better not hang around here then. And he went somewhere else. So it never did happen, but God knew that it would happen. Do you see? And in your life, you might think, like I do, you might think, what would have happened if I'd have made that decision? If this had happened at this time instead of that time? Well, God knows, but God has you on this path. Our life shouldn't be about what ifs. Okay. If we line them up with God, we don't need to ask any what ifs. We need to just say, Lord, just take control of what comes next. God knows all things. So God knows about who's going to win the next election. We just had one, but he knows about who's going to win the next one. He knows what's going to happen in the theater of world politics. He knows what's going to happen in this, you know, the next, I'm not up on it, but Super Bowl. He knows what's going to happen in your family. He knows what's going to happen if you make this decision or this decision. He knows what's going to happen if you choose this or that. They might both be good choices, and you don't know which choice. You give it to God. You say, God, I'm going to choose one of these. Okay? You make the choice, and you trust that God, because he knows, is helping you. And maybe he helped you arrive at that very choice, although it seemed arbitrary to you. We know one thing. We certainly know that if we choose something that is against God's will, God knows the implications of that. Now, because we're dealing with the attributes of God, and remember, the attributes all have attributes, so the knowledge of God is accompanied by his truth, by his wisdom, by his justice, by his love, by his righteousness, by his mercy. Maybe you chose the wrong thing. Maybe you sinned here. It doesn't mean God's going to give up on you, because God's mercy is there available for you. But better, I think, to put yourselves into the hands of the living God. David once sinned greatly against God. Instead of relying on God and trusting God, he had counted all of the armies of Israel. That displeased God, because he was putting his faith in his might instead of in God's might. So God said, yeah, you've got three choices here. Gave him three choices of judgment. And David said, I've been a fool. I'm not going to be a fool anymore. I'm going to fall into your hands, God. You bring the judgment that you think is right. Well, that was unfortunate that he got himself in that pickle, and Israel in that mess too. But at least his decision was wise. Lord, you know. So I'm going to trust that you know. I don't have to know what is the right thing. I don't have to know. But I do need to understand that you know. The Bible says he knows the way that I take. Does God know when Jesus is coming back? Of course he does. Does he know who the Antichrist is? Of course he does. Does he know what you're thinking right now when you're listening to Henry drone on? Yes, he does. So better watch it, okay? All right. What about things that you bring? You come to church, but you try to leave them at the door. But when you go out the door, they will cling them onto you again. Okay? Does he know about those things? Yes, he knows about those things. And he cares about those things. God knows all things. All things in your life, all things in mine, all things in the history of this world, all things in the future. He knows exactly what he's going to do. Nothing's going to outwit him. Nothing's going to take him by surprise. Nothing is going to make him scratch his head. But, as I've said, God doesn't merely have information. He doesn't just know more than you do. God is all wise. Wisdom exists because God exists. Just as when we looked at God's goodness, We say that goodness exists because God exists. You say, what about evil? We'll get to evil at another point, but I'll just insert this here. Evil cannot exist on its own. Evil is a privation or distortion of good. Good has to exist. Good is eternal because it's in God. Evil is a distortion of that good, but doesn't exist on its own. It does in other religions, the yin and the yang, good and evil, existing in balance forever. That's rubbish. It's not true. Evil does not exist forever. And God knows the day when evil will be no more. And only good will be our experience. And when that comes about, the day of that, the day that he's going to bless you with sinlessness and glory and peace and joy unlimited, well, that is in accordance with his wisdom. It's been 2,000 years. It's like, come on, Lord. It's about time. From our perspective, I mean, I think we all think that, yes? It's about time. And by the way, we are to pray to God. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But God's wisdom will decide the right time. And God's wisdom will decide not only that big thing, the biggest thing, Christ's return, but the small things too. You can give everything to God, who not only knows but has the wisdom to help you go forward. Knows what you need. Knows when you need it. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, if you would turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. It says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. To God alone who is wise. But notice the context. Notice here, he's the king, which means he rules. He's eternal, which means he's always existed. He's immortal, which means he's always going to exist. He's invisible, but he's there. And it's this God who has always existed, who is also all wise, the only wise one. Psalm 104 and verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. In wisdom you have made them all. This world functions amazingly, doesn't it? I mean, what scientists like to talk about, you know, the different dependence of one thing upon another, the bee upon the flower upon the bee, different things that must happen in order for trees to grow, flowers to grow, grass to grow, the seas to have fish in them. The whole ecosystem, it's not an accident, folks. It's not an accident. It's designed. It works so well because an all-wise God has made it. Your body, Yes, I know, my body too. I know it's decaying. I know it gives us trouble. But what a wondrous thing it is. The eye. The sense of smell, the sense of touch. Our ability to think about the world and be drawn into imagining things in the world and then making them in the world. You say, well, that's just a given. But it's not just a given. It's not something we should take for granted. It's something we should say, thank you, God, for making me that way. It takes great wisdom to make a human being. And you know what? It does not yet appear what we shall be. Can you imagine the things that God's wisdom has in store for us? As human beings who have trusted Jesus as their Savior, He's been resurrected. We await to be resurrected in connection with Him. Of course, we've got to be connected with Him. We've got to trust Him. We've got to trust that He died for our sins. We've got to ask Him to save us. But God's wisdom is going to put you, a better you, still you, but a better you, in a better world that has been wisely designed for you to enjoy. God's not going to be caught out by the future. He knows all things, He knows what He's going to do, and He has wisely thought through every single thing that's going to happen in order for your experience, my experience of His glory to be fulfilled, completely fulfilled. So that we will, in turn, as people made in the image and likeness of God, turn to God and praise our Maker, who is all wise, who is all knowing. You think, God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't care about my situation right now. It's not true. That's a lie. It's a lie. Don't trust, don't believe it. You might be at the end of your rope. It's okay. God knows, and God has the wisdom to be able to get you to where He wants you to get you. Just don't get in His way. Just don't do foolish things. But learn from Him. Learn from His wisdom. It might mean, yes, a little bit of difficulty ahead, but you can trust that God has you if you turn yourself over to Him. God is not caught out. In Job 9:4, Job says, God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against Him and prospered? It's not a good thing to try to take up arms against God. Shut your heart off to Him. Make your will, as it were, granite against His. He'll let you have your own way many times. He'll let you alone in your foolishness. But perhaps there'll come a day when you look up from your struggles and you acknowledge that, just like Job did, you know all things. So I'm going to turn around. I'm going to make a decision here to listen to you. I'm going to say to myself, my doubting self, I'm going to say, God knows me better than I know me, and God knows my future better than I know my future, and I'm going to trust Him with it. And I'm going to trust that his wisdom is going to bring me exactly to where God wants me. Because God's wisdom surveys all things. Psalm 33 tells us that he looks into the hearts of all men. He's furnished, he's made all of our hearts individually. Okay, well, give your heart over to him then. You don't know. He does know. And that takes us to Psalm 84 as we close here. Psalm 84 might not appear to be a psalm that deals with God's knowledge and wisdom. And in one sense it isn't, but in another sense it truly is, because it is about a human being's response to God and how they know that God knows better than they do, so they're going to trust God. And because of that, they can say certain things. They can say, for example, in Psalm 84:3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The sparrow and the swallow have been made by God, and they can find their homes because God has made them wise to do it. If you look out here and you see the birds, they grab seeds and so on, they fly up there and then they drop them down onto the ground, onto the concrete, to crack them open. Pretty smart stuff. Who gave them that wisdom? Who gave them that ability? Evolution. No, wrong answer. God gave them that wisdom. And so he's looking at the birds and he's saying, Lord, you've given them, because you know all things, you know how to make a bird, and you know how to make a, you can give wisdom to a bird to make a nest. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Well, they went on pilgrimages then, of course, to Jerusalem and so on. We don't go on pilgrimage. But in another sense, we are all pilgrims. The book of Hebrews says that we're strangers and sojourners through this life if we're Christians. The world is not our home. It's a place that we are living in right now. But if we have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, then we are on pilgrimage. Let therefore our hearts be set on that pilgrimage towards a celestial city. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Yes, if God has saved you through Christ's sacrifice, and you're trusting in Christ's sacrifice to save you from your sins and from the judgment of God, then God will make sure that you appear before him in Zion. And when he sees you because you've trusted in Jesus, he will greet you. You will be welcome. You're his son. You're his daughter. The gates of Zion in heaven will be flung open for you. God knows you're coming. Do you? Does that knowledge play any part in your day? Verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Well, how does David know that that's the case, that it's just one day in heaven, one day in glory is better than 1,000 days here? How does he know that?
Well, because he knows that God's knowledge and God's wisdom has designed eternity with us in mind. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need a couch to lie on. He doesn't need a house to live in. He doesn't need food to eat. He doesn't need anything. But he's created you. He's created this world. He has created eternity with you in mind. That's why the psalmist can say this. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How does he know that? Because God knows the way that you take. So if you walk uprightly, God will give you grace and glory. Finally, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. It's something that we, in our independence, we kind of, I don't know, we shrink from this somewhat. To trust in God, to trust in him completely. We can't see him, so we can't trust him. We can't feel him, so we can't trust him. That's the wrong point of view. That's the point of view of somebody who doesn't know. How about this point of view? God, you know me, my getting up, my sitting down. You know all things about me. You know me through and through. You know all things. And because you know all things, you will direct my life wisely. And that's why I can trust you. In whatever situation I may be in right now, I can trust you. I'm thankful that we have a God who knows and who acts wisely in everything that he does. So be like the psalmist. Trust in him. Because he says, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's pray. Lord, we've considered several attributes here, several things about you. Because I've not wanted to give a dry lecture on the omnipotence or the omniscience of God. God, you know all things. And you are all wise, the only wise God. Therefore, we can trust you. Because your knowledge is not only connected to your wisdom, but is connected to your power. Your power to protect us, your power to change situations in our lives. That your power is connected to your love for us. Your love is connected with your righteousness and your justice. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to this week understand that you know all things, Father. Even when we don't know, we can trust you. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.